And we're holding on Ninvav Amud Beis, the Mishnah. We've gone through the treifas of animals, the things by animals that are kosher, even though there's some kind of defect, but it's still kosher. We went through the treifas of birds, so now the Eva Kshedus Boith, the following cases with a bird are kosher. And again, many of them are going to parallel ones that we had with the animal, but we're mentioning them because we had to mention the treifas that are involved these things by a bird, the reasons that we learned about yesterday, and therefore, so now, for parallelism, we also have the following are kosher. And some of them are going to be new things that we haven't talked about before. First of all, nikva ha-gargaris, if the windpipe has a hole in it, which was we learned before, by an animal, a hole up to a certain size, up to the majority of it is an iser, depending whether the substance of it is missing or not, is still kosher. So by a bird, the same thing. As we learned yesterday, it actually pointed out, you would have thought that since a bird has less chayus, has less energy, less life force and energy in it, maybe even a hole, maybe in a small hole in the windpipe would be a problem, and therefore the Mishnah needs to tell us that not. Ocean nistica, or where it was cracked, which that we had by an animal as well, it's cracked along its length, where there the point is, though, that as a bird sticks out its neck, then the two sides of the crack will tend to come together and eventually it'll heal. Another case, another case would be when a weasel bit it on the head, but in a place where it wouldn't make it trefa, in a place where, in a part of the head that's not, where the brain is not behind it, or, as we learned yesterday extensively, where we check and we find that there's no problem over there, that even the skull hasn't been punctured, or that it has, whether we need to check the meninges, etc. So all those would be cautioned. Another one, unique to a bird, nikav ha-zefek. If the zefek has a hole in it, the zefek is, in English, it's called the crop. Birds, because they don't have teeth, they have to go through a different digestive process than animals. So what they do is when they first swallow their food, it goes into a pouch inside the neck called the crop. We're going to learn later on in the parak, actually, that that is one of the classic simonim of a kosher bird, is that it has one of the, well, there are four simonim we'll talk about, and one of them is that it has a crop. Most non-kosher birds do not. Not all kosher birds do either, we'll talk about, but in any case, the point is that, so now you have, so the food goes in there, it starts getting broken down, eventually it goes from that crop into, it goes further down, and ends up in the kurkuba, on the gizzard, and gets ground up over there, and gets, and then gets fully digested over there. So now, if the zefek has a hole in it, then that's not a problem, the bird is still kosher. Rebbe Omar, so the Nittel, Rebbe says even if the zefek was removed, the bird would be kosher. Although the Ran says that even Rebbe wouldn't say if the entire crop was removed and all food that goes through is just going to come right out into the body cavity. It means, in other words, that Rebbe would say if part of it was removed, because as we're going to see in the Gemara, you still have above it, you still have the esophagus continues above it, and therefore the food is able to go through there and end up in the stomach and get digested. Next, another din, yotzer bnei me'eha, if the intestines of the bird came out of the body, sometimes that'll happen, in particular when it's laying eggs, it's straining, and some of the intestines may come out, but they don't have any holes in them. So if they had holes, as we learned before, they're going to be trefa, the bird is going to be trefa, but here, we're saying they're partially out of the body, and even Rishonim point out that we're talking about shechted, and they're still partially outside the body as long as they don't have a hole. As we will see in the Gemara, more details about that. Next, nishtabru gapeha, another case where the gapeha are broken. Now, gapeha, many Rishonim learn means the wings. So if the wings are broken, nevertheless, the bird is still kosher. With that said, though, they do talk about possibilities that if it breaks very close to the body, then there might be a problem because they'll puncture the lungs. We'll work out in the Gemara more about the details of the positioning and the function of the lungs in birds versus animals in the Gemara, and then we'll see where that kind of thing can come into play. There are Rishonim who learn that Gapeha, over here we have the word Gaf a few days ago in the Gemara also, and there were Rishonim who explained over there that it meant actually the shoulder blade, the scapulae, which in a bird, those are long and thin and lie along the length of the bird's body above the lungs. So then, so another possibility they bring up is Gapeha means the shoulder blade, the scapula. So if that's broken, then the Mishnah is saying it's kosher. Again, we'll see more about in the Gemara. The Alter Rebbe, by the way, brings in Tanya, that you have when it comes to avodah, a person's mitzvahs are compared to a bird, which needs to be able to fly up to Shemayim. But meanwhile, now it needs wings. It needs av v'yira that motivate it in order for it to actually fly up. Otherwise, it's like a wingless bird. Now, our Mishnah is saying that if the wings are broken, then the bird is still kosher. And the Rishonim talk about even if the wings are amputated, then also it can be kosher. Fine. So all that means is, in other words, it's not going to kill the bird. Those are not vital organs in the same way. In other words, with mitzvahs, a person doesn't do mitzvahs with ava and yira. The mitzvah is still a mitzvah. It's just not going to fly up to Shemayim to where it's supposed to. Okay. The Mishnah continues. The shtabru raglecha. Another case would be where the leg of the bird is broken. Below a certain point. We're going to learn in the next parak. We're going to learn all about. We're going to talk about briefly in our Gemara over here, and we're going to learn in more detail in the next parak all about the tzimis agidin. There's an area where a bunch of tendons come together at the lower joint of the leg. And there, if those gidim get damaged or cut, then the animal or the bird is a trefa. So when we talk about over here that it was broken, that where exactly was it broken? Does it mean that it's kosher even if it's above that, as long as it doesn't affect the shemis gidim, or does it mean only if it was cut below that, only if it was broken below that? So we'll have a machloikas in the next parak. And in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem, about that point. In any case, those cases where the legs are broken but it's not a compound fracture, also the bone doesn't stick out, then the bird can still be kosher. Nowadays, actually, so we've talked about before that as far as checking for trefus, that the basic rule is you need to just check for the kind of trefus that are prevalent, which is why, for example, with animals, they check the lungs. With birds, nowadays, it's where they have to check the legs, and especially the tzimis hagidim. In particular, the idea is especially chickens are often raised, they're often raised, and to be very top heavy because they want as much white meat on it as possible that they can sell. So therefore, so the birds very often are very top heavy and their legs don't support them properly, so they break, or the tzimis hagidim break, and therefore that's one of those kinds of things that they have to check for nowadays when in chicken processing plants. Next, the Mishnah continues, Nimritu Knefeha. If its wings have been pulled out or fallen out. Rabbi Yehuda says, in Mitla Hanoitza Psula, it's the Noitza, which is the downy feathers. So the Knefeha would be the large feathers, the ones that have a thick spine to them, the one that, for example, Sofrim will use for their quills. Rabbi Huda says, you also have to consider those, says Rabbi Huda, the downy feathers, the little ones, that don't have a spine or have a very thin spine. So Rabbi Huda says, if that was removed, Sula, then the bird would be posher, would be trefa, because basically that's like gluda, that's the equivalent of an animal having lost its skin that we talked about before. Tosfos points out that actually we're going to see in the Gemara later that there is a different opinion that disagrees with that. Most of the poskim do say the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, but we talked about the other day that there are poskim who are machmir for it if all the feathers fell out. Although they said that we talked about that Amar brought from the Trumas Edeshin that if they fell out just because the bird is fat, then that's not a problem. So the Gemara says, turn it up on him, we learn in a braisa. Maisa b'Rab Simoi v'Rab Tzadik. It happened once with some Simoi and Rab Tzadik. Shabofa l'Abba Shana b'Lud. They went to Lud to declare a leap year. In those times, of course, they didn't have fixed calendar as we do. Whenever they needed a leap year, they would have to go and make the calculations and figure out whether it's necessary, and then they would proclaim it. That has to be done in Eretz Yisrael, unless there are no Chachamim of that caliber in Eretz Yisrael anymore. Preferably, the Gemara tells us it's supposed to be done in the south of Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yehuda. So Lud is part of that, is in that part of the world, and therefore they were going to Lud for that purpose. The Shabbos were Oinoi, so they spent Shabbos in Oinoi, which is another town, which is a town near Lud. Nowadays also, you look on a map of Eretz Yisrael, you'll find Lud, and you have near there is the airport, and then you have in the area over there is another town called Kiryat Ono, which is more or less where this Ono of the Gemara was. Anyway, v'hodu b'tar pachas k'rebi b'zefek. They gave a psak din about a case where the tarpachas was missing, which the tarpachas we learned previously is another name for the womb. So they paskin k'rebi b'zefek. They paskin like Rebbe when it comes to the zefek, to the crop. So tapachas means the womb, although the Torah sure and the Plasy explain that actually to be exact, the tapachas would be in a bird is the ovaries where the eggs are formed. Aim, which we said before, there were three different names for this body part: tapachas, aim, and shalpochus. So according to them, the difference is tapachas would mean specifically the ovaries of a bird, and aim would be the womb of an animal. In any case, they passed in by the tapachas by the frog. So he borrowed the who. So if you have a question, what does this mean? What does this report mean? Does it mean that they paskin that if an animal or bird is missing its tarpachas, then in fact it's osur, which would follow an opinion of the tarifim. The Gemara, the Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin that one time they there was a case involving an animal was brought to the tarifim where it was missing the womb, and the tarifim declared it safe. So now, later on, the Mishnah goes on and points out that that's actually called Toya B'dvar Mishnah. That's making a blatant mistake in Halacha, because in fact the Gemara points out that the womb is not a vital organ, and in fact the Mishnah says over there that before they would export certain kinds of animals from Egypt, they would cut out the womb, and then the animals would still go on and live long, healthy lives. So you see, it's not a vital organ. And then the reason why it comes up in Sanhedrin is because it's in connection with Dinim over there. If a Dayan makes a mistake in Halacha, when is he obligated to pay versus when does he have judicial immunity and is potter from pay? So the question is, did Reb Simoy and Reb Tzadik paskin that this animal or bird that's missing its tarpachas is osur, namely they paskin like the tarfin, and kerebi bezefek lahateira, and then a separate psak was, they came to them with a bird that had its zefek removed, its crop, and they paskin that it's mutter. So we're talking about two different things, v'hodu b'tarpachas, they paskin about the tarpachas, that if it's missing the animal is treifa, and then they also paskin separately about the zefek, and they paskin like Rebbe of our Mishnah that's kosher. Or maybe it means heard of a tapachas lahatera hid Rebbe the zefik. Or maybe what it means is they paskin that if the tapachas is missing, the bird is kosher, just like Rebbe says if the zefik is missing, then it's kosher. Avakar Rebbe the zefik lay svirulahu, which would mean that they disagree. So all it would mean is there was one sack about the tarpachas, and they're saying the same way, they draw an analogy, the same way as Rebbe would say in our Mishnah that if the zefek is missing, the bird is still kosher. The same way, by analogy, if the tarpachas is missing, the creature is still kosher. Abakar Rebbe, the zefek, like svir lahu, but they wouldn't hold, like Rebbe, as far as the zefek, they would in fact hold that if the zefek, only if it's punctured, as the Tanakhama had said in our Mishnah, would it be kosher, but not if it's actually missing. So the Gemara says, we can't be sure what they meant. Now, that's the way Rashi understands the question. But then Tosfos asks, for one thing, he said before, we just said about Reb Tarfon with the womb, that he found out soon afterwards that he was mistaken, and in fact, an animal missing its womb is perfectly kosher. So why would we assume that Reb Simoy and Reb Tzadik then followed Reb Tarfon's original mistaken psak? Tosfos says maybe they would draw a distinction between an animal and a bird. Maybe birds are more susceptible to treifas, and therefore you can say that the tarpachas, the ovary or whatever missing is more likely to make a treifa. But then Tosfos points out one of the Gemara asks the third possibility. Maybe it means that both of them are mutter. So Tosfos has some discussion about it, and then Tosfos ends up bringing a girsa that the question is, is it in fact that they pass in that both of them are mutter, by the tarpachas is missing that it's mutter, and also they pass in that Rebbe by the zefek that it's mutter, or maybe Tosfos' girsa is, maybe they held by the tarpachas that it's mutter, just like Rebbe says by the zefek, but they don't agree with Rebbe about the zefek itself that's missing its kosher. In other words, the Gemara takes it. It's certainly, there's no question they paskin that the tarpachas is mutter, but the question is, was it also that they paskin that the zefek is mutter, and they agree with Rebbe, or did they disagree with Rebbe on that point as well? And the Ran asks the question, and what does the tarpachas have to do with the zefek? What does one have to do with the other? So a couple of achronim, Rosh Yosef and Lev Aryeh point out that Rebbe is saying that if it has a hole, then it's fine, and even if it's removed, it's fine. And then the same thing by the womb or by the ovary, whether it has a hole or whether it's removed, it would be kosher. Okay, then you have other Rishonim have yet another girsa that the Rashba and the Ran bring a girsa that the question was, did they pass in Rabbi Tar Pacha, so that's Osir, but by the Zefek they passed in that it's Mutter, or maybe they said by both of them that it's Mutter. So in other words, according to that girsa, they definitely said the Halacha, they definitely said they passed in by the Zefek, like Rebbe, and that would imply the Halacha is like him. Whereas by the Tar Pacha, there's the question whether they pass and that it's possible, that it's Tzedekah or not. Okay. In any case, the Gemara says, take it, we can't be sure what this report actually means. Lamaisa, most of the posts can pass in, that if the Zefek has a hole, then it's fine, provided that, as we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, there is a difference within the Zefek itself. There's a certain area where if it has a hole, then it has a problem. But basically, they say that problems in the Zefek are not in and of themselves such a problem. So if you have a hole in it, then it's mutter. Then if it was removed, then most posts can hold that in fact the brood would be treifer. For that matter, also the posts can bring after the zefek, you have the esophagus continues over there. Eventually, you have a point where it widens before it gets to the actual corcovon, before it gets to the actual gizzard. There's an area over there called the proventriculum, and also the food starts breaking down over there. So there also, if that area has a hole in it between the zefek and the corcovon, including that proventriculum, then the posts can also say it would be treifa as well. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak of the Shurban Levi. Now here we're talking about if the Zefek as a whole, and according to Rebbe, if it's even removed altogether, or almost altogether, as the Ran says, then the brood would still be kosher. However, the roof of the Zefek counts like the esophagus, and therefore if there's any size hole in it, then the brood would be trizzed. So the Gemara says, Heicha, where is that exactly? What is Gagre Shol Zefek? So I'm going to be by a kosher Nimtach Iman. Or everything that is stretched along with it. So Rashi explains stretches in the sense, in other words, that you have the vesh, the esophagus is narrow, then it widens when you get to the zefek, and then it narrows again and continues with the esophagus and then the proventriculum, etc. So the definition would be that all the area where it starts narrowing, so in other words, you have the zefek as a whole, then you have a point where it starts narrowing, going towards the head of the animal, towards the head and towards the back of the animal. So those areas would be considered already part of the zefek itself, whereas then the zefek itself, the pouch that hangs beneath it, would have a different thing. There are different other Rishonim have different other other understandings of what it means. The Rambam explains that what it means is when the brood sticks out its neck to eat, then some of these zefek pulls together with the vesh, and that would be considered like the vesh. And then you have yet another explanation that what you do is you take the whole thing out of the brood and you hold on to it and you pull on the vesh from both sides. Whatever pulls along with it is considered part of the vesh. Whatever doesn't is considered part of the zefek. So you have a couple of different possibilities what it means. In any case, we're saying that those areas are considered part of the vesh itself. Everything below that, the pouch below that, is considered the zefek. And as our Mishnah is saying, if it has a hole in it, then the brood is still kosher. Only if it's missing, would it be treifa? And again, if we say the halacha is like Rebbe, and the Rashba discusses back and forth about that, if we say the halacha is like Rebbe, then it means even if most of the zefek is removed, the brood would still be kosher. But if you hold, and most posts can do that, the halacha is not like Rebbe, then it would mean that even if the zefek is removed, then it would be treifa, and only if it has a hole, it's fine. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Yotzu b'nei me'ahav, said that if the intestines of the brood came out, but they don't have a hole, then the brood is fine. So the Gemara says, I'm going to come over to Yitzchak, lo yishanu elo shalei hikach behem. That would only apply if when he puts them back in, So before we were talking about, let's say they're still sticking out when you check the boot, but suppose you put them back in, if you put them back in the correct positions, then fine. Shalei hikach behem, you didn't turn them around to be in different positions. Aval hikach behem, but if you put them in out of order, then that's no good. Tshreifa, then the boot is going to be tshreifa, because as Tosfos says, or if they're not in the correct positions, then eventually they're going to deteriorate and they're going to decay and they're going to develop holes. So if you manage to put them in the exact positions that they were, each circle, Rashi points out, it has to be. You can't have the upper parts are down below or vice versa. It can't even be that you have the intestines, parts of them go in a circle, the colon particularly goes in a circle, round and round. You have to make sure that every part of the circle is back in its right place. In fact, actually, Rabbeinu Gershom goes even further on our Gemara and says, hikach behem means touch them. According to him, if somebody touched them, then already you have to be concerned that they're going to get infected and then develop a hole. So aval hikach behem, but if hikach behem, which again, according to Rashi, means to actually turn them around, put them back in the wrong way around, and according to Rabbeinu Gershom, even if somebody touched them, tereifa, then the bird is going to be tereifa. And we know that, so where do we see that things in the body, that it's not just important that they be inside the body, but they be exactly in their correct positions? The Pasuk has, who oscha vayichonin nech? The Pasuk says, Hashem made you, and vayichonin nech. So vayichonin nech means Hashem established you. But malamet shabara HaKadosh Baruch Hu, koinin niyas va'adav. We learn from this that Hashem made within a person, and he was saying an animal also, that Hashem made certain established things, vayichonin nech. Rashi says, malashin kan, malashin a base, that Hashem put the same way as, for example, the kiyor had a base that it sat on, the same way Hashem makes bases for things in the body that everything has to be in its right place. If one of them is turned around, any yochel lichis, then the person wouldn't be able to live. So part of that is then the intestines, the exact positioning of them. And then, in other words, the same thing then we're saying would apply to an animal or a bird, that they also, everything has to be in its exact right place, otherwise it won't live. So the Marsha brings from the Aruch another possibility that the word koinonias means things that go round and round. And then again, like we just said, falls to the intestines, the colon, goes round and round, and therefore that's what it means koinonias, that it has to be exactly in the right places where it was. Having brought that pasuk, then the Gemara brings another meaning of that pasuk. Tanya, Hoyer of Meir Omer, when it says, Hu oscha vayichonenecha, Hashem set you up. Hashem made you Jewish. So in the first explanation, Hu oscha vayichonenecha is talking on the individual level. Every single person should realize that Hashem made him, and vayichonenecha, Hashem made everything in his body exactly positioned where it should be, and if it's not positioned correctly, then it can be a fatal injury. Now, the mayor is going to take that on a national level as well, that it means also that Hashem made the Jewish people exactly what they should be. Hu oscha vayichonenecha means we're going to take the word vayichonenecha, again, maloshin bosis, maloshin a basis, that Hashem made everything in the Jewish people having a basis for exactly what they need. Krata de Kula Bay, the Jewish people are like a city that has everything in it. Meaning, mimenu koyanev, from within the Jewish people themselves come their koyanev. Unlike, for example, there were some nations, especially, for example, Rav Meir may be thinking of the Romans. It was very, very famous among, in Roman society that they had, for example, that their best engineers, their best religious priests and so forth came from different other surrounding nations. So here now, on the other hand, we're saying with us Jewish people, we don't need that. We ourselves have anything within it. Mimenu koyanav, from within us our own koyanim. Mimenu neviyav, our own neviyim. Hashem doesn't have to send us neviyim from other nations. Mimenu sorav, we have our own princes. Mimenu malacha, and we have our own kings. Unlike, again, many other nations, we find by Edom, we find Taka later on by the Romans, where often they would have foreigners come and rule over them and whatever, because they couldn't find anybody among them who was suitable as a king. Here we Jewish people don't have that. Hashem made us that we're all self-sufficient, like a city that has that self-sufficient and has everything in it. Chassam Sofer points out that the words, the positions that we're talking about over here, Koyan of Neviyav, Sarav, and Malachav, rearrange that spells the word Mishkan. So Hashem gave us a Mishkan of all of these things. Nowadays, unfortunately, we don't have any of them, but nevertheless, though, the point is that But nevertheless, though, we still have this. Hashem created that in us in the first place. And but since it's true nowadays, we don't have the Mishkan and we don't have these things. We don't have these things either. The Chassam Sofer finishes off that actually we did learn at the beginning of the Masechta when we talked about that not all the treifas that apply to animals apply to people, because a person has a mazel. So the same way, even if we don't have to have these koinonias, we have our koinim, but we don't have our neviim, our sonim and malachim. Nevertheless, we're still able to live and survive in galus because Hashem protects us. Anyway, it continues the Gemara. So where do we see that the Jewish people have all these things? Now you have psukim that express that. Koinim, for example, is very clear. It comes from Shevet Levi, but the Gemara wants to find a pasuk that demonstrates the greatness of this kind of thing, of a nation that's self-sufficient in these things. Shenema, the pasuk says, Mimenu fina, from it itself comes the cornerstone. Mimenu yosir, the Gemara, from it itself come the pegs and nails that hold it in place. So in other words, the pasuk is talking about that about the Jewish people, that we have, they're gonna have everything that they need. They're gonna have all their leaders and everything that they need and not have to rely on other nations to provide any of these things for them. So therefore that's another meaning of that Hashem set us up and made us that we're a self-sufficient nation as far as these things. Okay. Getting back to this matter of the intestines falling out, and if they go back in the wrong way, then the animal is treifa. And if the Gemara is going to point out that to a certain extent that does apply to a person as well. Ahu Reimal, there was once a woman, the Chazil Ahu Gadra, enough from the Igrul Ara. He once saw a person fall off a roof onto the ground, pocket karse, and his stomach split open from the fall, the Nofok Mayone, and his intestines fell out. Now, this woman wants to help the guy. The problem is that, as we just said, if he tries to put back in the intestines, he may put them back in the wrong way around, or according to the Benegoshim, even just touching them is going to be a problem. So what does he do? So the Roman lingo is that if the intestines go back in on their own, then that'll be fine. They'll go back in their natural places, and they won't have been handled by anybody, and the person will still be able to live. So, so he took the guy's son, the Shakta Kameh Ba'achuzas Einayim. He pretended, he did a sleight of hand thing to make it look like he had shechted that son. So he didn't actually kill the boy, but he just made it look. He did some kind of sleight of hand, some kind of magic to make it look like he had slaughtered the boy in front of his father. The father being the one who had fallen off the roof. Ingid v'itnach, so now the father felt very bad. He was fainting away and he was sighing, thinking that his son is dead. Ulamayon. And then when he sighed, ulamayone, then that brought his intestines back in. Like when you take a deep breath, and so in that case, it caused his intestines to actually come back into his body. And then the woman is just able to sew up the injury. So in other words, the point is that we see that it is possible for them to go back in, but only if they go back in by themselves. You try to put them back in, according to the Benegoshim, anyway, that's going to be a problem because you touched them. And according to the other, we're showing him it means fine. If just touching them is not a problem, but it's highly unlikely you're going to get them back in the exact right positions. And therefore, this Roman was smart about that and figured out a way to have them go back in on their own. The Gemara says, Nishtabru Raglaiha, the next case that we had in the Mishnah was where a bird's legs are broken. And we said the bird can still be kosher. So the Gemara says, Ahut Sanaji in Kuri, it happened once that there was a whole basket full of birds whose legs had been broken. So either again, we have the different opinions before that we're going to discuss in more detail in the next paragraph about, are we talking about were they broken below the Tzemes HaGidin, or were they broken even above it, as long as it's not a compound fracture, the bone doesn't stick out. So that would be the case over here. Rashi brings from the Tshuvas HaGoyim that in Kuri doesn't mean birds that were injured. It means actually a certain kind of bird that has dots on them. Rashi describes a black water bird that has white dots on its forehead. So some kind of duck or something like that. Rashi points out we have some of them in our city. So we're talking about ducks or maybe a type of swan or something. In any case, according to that explanation, we're not talking about the birds were injured. We're just talking about that there was a basket full of such birds. Anyway, the Asher the Kamei the Rava, it was brought to Rava, Badke Rava with Tzemes HaGidim. So Rava checked that Tzemes HaGidim, this area of these tendons that come together on the lower part of the leg, and he found that they were intact.
the Akshadei, and so he declared the birds, so he declared the birds kosher. So in other words, the point is, so again, if we understand that the break was above the Tzemes HaGidim, then you certainly need to check that the Tzemes HaGidim are intact. If you learn that it means that it was broken below that, then the point is, it means that even then, if you have a break in that area, you do have to check the Tzemes HaGidim. Again, nowadays, when they, in chicken processing, kosher chicken processing plants, they do in fact check for that. In the next paragraph, we're going to learn that unlike with an animal, you have only three gidim, only three tendons over there that matter for this purpose of tzemes and gidim. When it comes to a bird, you have 16, and all of them have to be, and all of them have to be intact. In fact, the posts can talk about that it's hard to identify which 16 we're talking about. There are a lot of tendons and nerves and all kinds of things in that area of the leg. And therefore, often we say that any injury in that area is going to make the bird safer, which again is one of the things they commonly check for. Sometimes also you may have it by chicken in the store. The lower leg of the chicken is generally cut off. They generally don't sell it with it when they have a chicken in quarters or eighths or a whole chicken or whatever. Usually the lower legs are cut off, but sometimes you'll have at the bottom of the part of the leg that they do sell, sometimes you'll find an injury or blood clot over there. And sometimes, in fact, you do need to ask a shayla whether there's any possibility that that happened when the bird was alive. And in that case, it might be an injury that made it safer, or is it more likely that it just happened post after shita during the processing and the plant, and then it's not a problem. But in any case, such things sometimes need to be checked out. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Shmutas Yad Bebehema Ksheira. If an animal, a cow, a sheep, or a goat, or whatever kinds of kosher animals, if its front leg is dislocated, Bebehema Ksheira, then it would be kosher. In fact, Tosfos points out not only if it was dislocated, but even if it was cut off completely, then it would be kosher. The legs we're going to talk about further on if they're cut off beyond a certain point, the animal is treifa, but the front legs it doesn't matter so much. Shmutas yerach the behema treifa. On the other hand, with an animal, if the hip is dislocated, then it's treifa. Now we learned that a few days ago. We talked about Bukha de Achma, the Shof Medukhe. We talked about where the hip bone gets dislocated from its socket. But then we said actually that in addition you also have for it to be treifa that the gidim, the ligaments that hold that together are also broken. We talked about according to Rashi it means the round ligaments that goes inside the sockets, and according to the Rambam and some other Rishonim it means the ones on the outside that hold them together. So there's quite a bit of discussion among the Rishonim about ins and out of what we're saying over here. First of all, this part is in parentheses, and so not all are good at it. But in any case, there was quite a bit of discussion. What exactly? So Rashi says we are talking about exactly that case where it's dislocated and where the nive, where the ligaments are where the ligaments are deteriorated and then rotted away. Tosfos and other Rishonim discuss other possibilities of what we're talking about over here. In any case, Rabbi Yehuda continues in the name of Rab. Shmutas Yerach Ba'oit Treifa. Now, if the hip is dislocated by a bird, then it's Treifa. Now Rashi and Tosfos are both explaining also that what it means is again only if the nive, only if these ligaments are deteriorated. On the other hand, the Ramban brings from Gdolei Luno, from the great Chacham of Luno in the south of France, that by a bird it would be treifa, even if those ligaments are not deteriorated. And so there's quite a bit of discussion about a number of the ins and outs over here of what exactly is kosher and what is not. And Rabbi Yehuda continues in the name of Rav, Shmutas Gaf Ba'oif Treifa. And also, if the gaf by a bird is dislocated, then it's treifa. We talk about does the gaf mean the wing? I mean, in other words, we don't mean one of the extremities of the wings. We mean the area of the wing where it's attached, where it inserts into the body. Or again, another possibility is the gaf means the scapula, the shoulder blade of the bird. So then he says treifa, and there the problem is. Now, why should it be treifa if by an animal a front leg being dislocated or even cut off is perfectly kosher? Why by a bird should it be treifa? The reason is Kashin and Shema Nikva Hareya, because we have to be concerned that the lung had gotten punctured. Now, by an animal, the lungs are pretty far away, relatively speaking, from the legs, and therefore you don't have a problem if the legs are dislocated or broken or whatever that should affect the lungs. But by a bird, it's very close together. You only have, Rashi describes, that basically you have the lung of the bird is hidden between the between the ribs. Now, of course, by an animal, it's also hidden behind the ribs, but the ribs also, as we're going to talk about soon, with an animal, the width of the ribs, it lies along the surface of the lungs, as opposed to by a bird, the sharp ends of the of the ribs are in the direction of the lungs. But the point is also that you have, therefore, because of the, if you look at it in cross section, the lungs of a bird are much more are much more embedded between the ribs, and Rashi describes you just have a very thin membrane between one rib and the next. So therefore, so if there's a gap, if the wing, the scapula gets dislocated, then it means that the lung is going to go along with it. So therefore, so you have a problem, then you have a hole, and then the bird is going to be chafed. Sipas Holden points out an interesting point. The lungs of birds work much differently than the lungs of animals. The lungs of animals and people expand and contract, and as we learned before, they have lobes and so forth. When it comes to a bird, it doesn't have lobes, the flower, the lungs, there are lungs there, but they're just, like Rashi says, like a thin, stretchy membrane. What actually happens is, for breathing, for gas exchange in a bird, you have, there are air sacs that are within some of the bones around the lungs, including the bones of including the lower parts of the wings. There are air sacs in there which are attached, which are connected to the lungs, and the air goes in and out of those. So therefore, the problem is now if a wing is dislocated or broken, then we're saying that you have to be concerned that it may have affected one of those air sacs, and therefore you're going to have a hole there, and therefore air is going to leak out, and the brood is going to be tricked. So now the Yehuda is saying in the name of Rav that if the wing is dislocated, or if the wing or the scapula, depending on how you learn gas, is dislocated, then automatically the brood is tereva. Or Shmuel Amar Tibodek, Shmuel says not necessarily is it tereva. You would have to check the lung and see whether it's punctured. Rashi describes what you would do is you would stick a straw into the lung and then blow and see if any air comes out. Why would you do that? One point is with an animal you can easily take the lungs out of the body and then inflate them like we learned before with the bird. You can't do that because they're too delicate, because the lung is too delicate. And then in addition, you also have this point about the air sacs. You can't really remove the lung intact from the bird without also breaking the air sacs. And therefore, the only choice is to check it while it's still in the bird. And therefore, for that purpose, you have to use a straw to blow inside and see if any air leaks out. Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing, that you could check it, but you would have to check it in that way. The Mordechai points out another possibility. You can also put a feather or something light over there and see if any air leaks out. In fact, the Shibboleth Alechet points out that one time they used Rashi's method of blowing in, but they didn't notice any air coming out. But then Rabbeinu Shmuel HaKohen checked it. He put the lung in the water, and they saw bubbles, and therefore they declared it today. But again, the point is, in other words, with a bird, you have to consider not only the lung, but also these air sacs that are attached to it, that are within certain of the bones, and therefore you have to be concerned about that as well, and make sure that those haven't been punctured either. Okay. The Gemara continues. Chizkiya says, though, that a bird does not have a lung. Now, what does that mean? Of course, birds have lungs. We're going to talk about in a few lines what Chizkiya means by it. But Rabbi Yechon says a bird has lungs. It's thin and then fragile, and it looks like the petal of a rose. Between the wings, so within the ribs. So the Gemara says, my ain rea lo'oth. What does Chizkiya mean when he says that a brood doesn't have a rea? He lamed the less lay cloud. Does mean that it doesn't have lungs at all? Well, because in a day slay, you see, of course it has. Ella de oithlay mitrufay. What he means is, Chizkiya is saying that the trephus that apply to the lungs would not apply to the lungs of a brood. So the Gemara says, why not? But Vahatoni Levi, didn't Levi teach a braisa that we learned before? Trefus shemona chachamim b'behema, all the trefus that the chacham enumerated in an animal, kinegdem ba'oif, all of them have parallels in a bird. As we learned before, it's only when the bird has the parallel organs. For example, we said before, so the bird doesn't have a hemisys or basakoisis, so therefore trefus of those are not relevant, but everything where a bird and an animal have the same structures in the body, then the same traces will apply. Yes, for Alayan, and then we said in addition, you also have Nishpara Etzem that we talked about when the skull was broken, even if the membranes or the meninges of the brain are not punctured, then it's traces, as we learned yesterday, that applies to water birds. In any case, the point is that if holes in the lungs by an animal make it trace, why shouldn't holes in the lungs of a bird make it trace also? And why does Chizkiah say that not? So the more answer is Ella. No, what Chizkiah means is Einloy Loyri Nothel. What he means is trefus of the lung are not relevant by a bird if it fell. So here we talk about the case of Nefula, where an animal or a bird fell onto something hard, and we have to be concerned that internal organs were damaged. So Chizkiah is saying that won't apply to the lungs, and also not as far as getting affected by fire. When we talk about if a bird falls into fire and internal organs change color, then that won't apply to, we don't have to check the lungs and see whether they changed color. My time. And why is that? Because most of the ribs of the bird protected. Meaning, again, if you look in cross section, where they are relative to the lungs is different than by a bird. In particular, by an animal, the width of the lungs lies along the surface of the lungs. On the other hand, with a bird, it's the edges of the sharp edges of the ribs that point towards the lungs. But therefore, that means that it's a better protection for them, and therefore they're less likely to be affected by a fall or by falling into a fire or whatever. So that's what Chizkiah means when he says ein rei la'oif. He doesn't mean that birds don't have lungs. He means that certain, and he doesn't mean that holes in them wouldn't be a problem. He means that these kinds of things, he means that these kinds of problems of falling or of getting damaged by fire don't apply to the lungs of birds. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? But the fact is, we see Rabbi Yochanan replies to Chizkiah and says, yes, birds do have a lung, and it looks like a rose leaf, a little thin reddish thing, between the wings. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan has to say that, Father Chizkiah suffered a less light. It sounds like Chizkiah holds that in fact birds do not have lungs. So what does that mean? So they said in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, yeah, midvarav shal Beridi. In fact, based on, if we look at what Beridi said, and we've learned a few times, that Beridi means the great Talmud Chacham of his generation, meaning Chizkiah, it seems that he's not particularly familiar with chickens. He doesn't eat them regularly, so he's not familiar with what they look like. So it's Lashon B'dis Chusa. It's like a little bit of a, Rashi says, like a little bit of a joke of a head of sense. Why doesn't he know? Because he doesn't eat chickens often enough to notice this kind of thing. But it means, in other words, that Chizkiah, in fact, is saying something that can't possibly be correct. He's saying that they have no lungs when in fact they do have lungs, and Rabbi Yochanan has to point that out to him. So in other words, you could have, if he'd eaten chickens, he would have found it, but because he didn't. But it's just a bit of a more respectful way of saying that he really doesn't know that, because in fact they do have lungs. Now, the Jerusha on Shulchan Aruch says, wait a second, I mean, so Chizkiah is going to publicly announce a din without checking out the facts first? How could it be? So what it means is, he heard from his Rebbeim in Re'alot. What they meant is, as we said before, about if it falls or if it falls into a fire. Chizkiah mistakenly thought that that means that it, that, that, that it means that the re, that it has no Re'ya at all. So the Chassam Sofer gives a different explanation, that he knew there's a Re'ya over there. But because it doesn't have the shape of a Re'ya in an animal, in particular it doesn't have lobes, so he figured it doesn't have the din of a Re'ya. Maybe physiologically it functions as a Re'ya, but he would hold it doesn't have the din of one, because the din of a Re'ya would be that it has lobes and so forth, and that it expands and contracts. And then we're saying that no, the fact is, the lung of a bird does more or less fulfill the same function as by an animal. Fine, it doesn't expand and contract. It uses the air sacs for that purpose, but it still basically functions the same. Now, we said earlier, a few lines ago, we were talking about the various cases near the top of the Amud, the various cases where with body parts are dislocated, and he said what's kosher and what's chay. So he said that Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Rab that out of four possibilities, animals, birds, front legs, hind legs, the only one that would be kosher is by an animal if a front leg is dislocated. But he had said that by an animal, a hind leg, or by a bird, a hind leg would be trefa, and by a bird also if the wings are dislocated. So now the Gemara continues on that. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav that no, if the leg of a bird is dislocated, then it would be kosher. So now before we talk about that, it was trefa. So now Tosfos says in that case, on the face of it, that means that it would also be the case by an animal, because we said before that everything that applies to an animal also applies to a bird. So maybe here we're talking about where you didn't have the ligaments were the ligaments weren't damaged, which we said before only if the ligaments are damaged by an animal it would be a problem, and therefore here we're talking about where that didn't happen, and therefore it would be fine. Although we talked about before, there are Rishonim who say that in fact by a bird it would be trefa either way. Here he's saying that it would be kosher. Tosfos says another possibility. Fakir, Rav Huna would say that it's kosher only by a bird, not by an animal. He would agree it's safe, but by a bird he would hold it's kosher. Okay. In any case, we said that Rav Yehuda had said in the name of Rav that it's treifa. So Amale Rav about Rav Huna, Rav Huna. So Rav about Rav Huna asked his father Rav Huna, "V'ha Rabbanan da'osim from Bedisa Amru." The Chachamim who came from Bedisa, from Rav Yehuda's base medrash, they said Rav Yehuda mishmed Rav Amos Motasiyara Floyv treifa. That they said that Rav Yehuda reported in the name of Rav that if the thigh is dislocated by a bird, then it's treifa. So Rav Huna tells him, "Bri, my son, Nara, Naro Pashte, every river flows in its own course." Meaning, yeah, there are different minhagim in different. So in other words, Rashi says that sometimes every river's current is different. Sometimes you have a fast current, sometimes a slow current. The same way, different places have different minhagim. So Rav, in other words, would hold that it's kosher. And Rashi explains, Rav would hold that it's kosher, but then he saw in Pumbedisa, they had the minhag to declare it also, so he wasn't going to declare it mutter in their presence, and therefore, instead of Yehuda being from Pumbedisa, he thought that Rav actually holds that it's kosher. But in fact, says Rav Huna, Rav would really hold that it's kosher, and only just the local minhag in Pumbedisa was to say that it's kosher, and therefore Rav Yehuda reported it in that way. So the post can talk about a reason why to distinguish why indeed should a dislocated thigh by a bird be trefa, be kosher, even if by an animal. So the thing would be trefa. A logical reason is because an animal has to have its whole body weight on four legs, in particular, it puts most of its body weight on its hind legs, as opposed to a bird doesn't need to as much because it does have its wings to help hold it. So the Gemara tells Hafozah Rab Abba, Ashkefen, Rab Yirmi Ba'aba, to Kabotik with Semis Agidin. One time Rab Abba went and found Rab Yirmi Ba'aba checking the Semis Agidin again to check this area of the tendons on the bottom part of the leg to make sure that they're all intact. Omalei, so Rab Abba asks him, Lomalei the Maya Pulehai, why do you have to go to so much trouble and check these Gidin? Didn't Rav Huna say in the name of Rav that if the thigh is dislocated by a bird, then it's kosher? Now, if it's dislocated, then it's out of place. In other words, in effect, everything there is removed, including the Semes HaGidim. So then if even that is kosher, then that means that all the more so the Semes HaGidim are also affected, and nevertheless, we're still saying that it's kosher. So why do you need to check? I don't know from that, but I know from a Mishnah that it says later in the Masechta, in the next parashah, that if an animal's legs were chopped off below the arkuba, below the joint, and we're going to talk about over there which joint are we talking about? Are we talking about the joint of the knee above the Semes HaGidim, or are we talking about the joint of the ankle below the Semes HaGidim? Anyway, the Mishnah says the animal is above, but if it's above the arkuba, then it's possible the Fenchin Mipel, Semes HaGidim, and also Semes HaGidim will remain, even if the leg as a whole is intact. And Rav said on that, the same din would apply to a bird, that Semes HaGidim is removed at stake. So in other words, so yeah, it can be that if a leg is dislocated or broken, the bird can still be kosher, but nevertheless, the Semes HaGidim is a thing of its own, and you do have to check for it. So the question is, Yafi Kasha de Rabba de Rab. Well, then Rab seems to be contradicting himself. If the whole leg is dislocated and the bird is still kosher, so how could it be that if only the Tzemes HaGidim were removed, it's Tereza? So the Yumi was quiet, and he was quiet. Now, why? Whenever we have that Amura is quiet, we can all discuss. But does it mean that he was quiet because Taka didn't have an answer? Or could it be because he didn't want to bother answering him because the distinction is so obvious? So one possibility is that it means that it's very obvious, and therefore he didn't bother. But Tosfos says another possibility it can be is that. Tosfos elsewhere in a similar Gemara in Nida talks about so Rashi there explains that it means that Rabbi Yumia didn't bother answering because the answer was so obvious that he expected Rabbi Abba to figure it out for himself. Tosfos says that he forgot it and then later on remembered it. Anyway, so he was quiet. Amalei, so Rabbi Abba says Duma Shani Lei Ben Shmukta LaHatucha. Maybe there's a difference between dislocated and cut off. You could say dislocated would still be kosher even if the entire leg is dislocated. But if it's cut, then that would be different even if only the same as the Gidim are cut. Omalei, so Rabbi Yumi says, the at the Fausha Schneitz of it, are you on your own coming, you think that on your own you're coming up with this distinction to explain Rab? No, you should know, it's not your own Chiddush. The Fedush, Omer Rab, Shmutak Sherif, Hatzuch Hapsuva. Rab, in fact, explicitly said that there is a difference between dislocated, which can be kosher, or even if it's entirely removed, versus Hatzucha, if it's cut, even if only the same as a Gidim. So in other words, again, according to Rashi elsewhere, Rabbi Yumia didn't even answer him in the first place because he expected Rabbi Abba to come up with the answer. And when Rabbi Abba came up with it, Rabbi Yumia says, yes, in fact, that is the distinction that Rav himself had made. According to Tosfos, it would be that Rabbi Yumia forgot. And then when Rabbi Abba mentioned this distinction, then that jogged Rabbi Yumia's memory. So Rashi says that means even if Nitla Kula, even if the entire thing was removed, Tosfos discussed that Shmuta Kshedah would mean it's just dislocated, but it's out of its socket, but it's still there, as opposed to Nefta, which would be where the Tzemes HaGidim are cut. So then, and Val Tisma, don't be surprised about that. We can see that with an animal, sometimes you can cut it in a certain place, then it'll kill it. And if you cut it in what seems to be a similar kind of cut in a different place, then it will live. So an example would be that. You have certain parts of an animal where, let's say, Rashi, when we had this expression earlier, post kamikano mesa, post kamikano dafoya, Rashi had given an example. But let's say, for example, you cut the animal's simonim, then it's tzreika. Go a few inches away and cut its shoulders, then it will be able to survive. So we see, in other words, that the different things are different. Different organs, some are vital, some are not. Different kinds of conditions are similar, are different. So the same way, in other words, the same way, you can argue that chatucha, to cut tzemes hagidim, is worse than shmuta, is worse than it being dislocated. And again, even if it's dislocated completely, or fine, Tosfos says maybe we're talking about dislocated, but it hasn't been removed altogether from the body. Again, there was quite a bit of discussion among Rishonim and Achronim about ins and outs of this, when we would say that a dislocation is enough to make an animal or a bird tracer versus not, versus when do we say only if it's completely removed, and you also have this whole matter that we talked about before, about the nivi, the ligaments that hold that joint together, how those factor that into that as well. So the Gemara continues, Kisolik Rab Abba, when Rab Abba went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechel Rab Zera, he found Rab Zera. Both Rab Zera and Rab Abba were originally from Bavel. Rab Zera had moved to Bavel, and then Rab Abba came later. So the Yosef Bekama, Rab Zera was sitting and saying, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Shmutas Yerach Bo'if Trefa, that Rav Huna says in the name of Rab, that a dislocated thigh would be Trefa by a bird. Omalei, so Rab Abba says, Chaye Yemar, I swear by the life of the Rebbe, by your life, ever since you left Bavel and came to here, Eretz Yisrael, Havalon Pisken Hekameh Rabuna. We always had opportunities to talk to Rabuna and to ask him about Hilchos Tereifos. So well, Shilne, and we asked him about this din for Omalon, and he told him Shmutas Yerach Boris Kshir, that a dislocated thigh would be kosher by a bird. So not like you say. And continues Rav Abba, what just happened to me before, and I found Rav Yumi of Abba checking the Tzemes Segidim, but actually, and I asked him, don't you agree with the idea that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav that it's kosher if the leg is dislocated, and therefore it shouldn't be a problem with Tzemes Segidim? Omali, and he answered me, like we said before, I can tell you, I know what it says in the Mishnah, that if the legs of an animal were chopped off below the akuba, below the joint, then it's kosher. In akuba l'mayelak sula, but above the joint it would be possible. V'chein shenitol tzemes agidim, and the same thing if the tzemes agidim were removed, then the animal is shreifa. V'omer Rav Allah v'chein ba'orif, and that Rav says the same thing applies to a bird. V'amulei, and I said to him, yochi kasha d'Rav ad'Rav. So now, in other words, Rav is going over the whole discussion we had in the stomach of the Gemara before. He's saying it in first person to Rav Zeira, that this is all what happened to me. This is all a discussion that I was involved in, and it comes out from that, that a dislocated thigh would be kosher by a bird, so why are you saying that it's treifa? Why are you saying in the name of Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, that it's treifa, when Rav Huna clearly explained to us that it's kosher? So I said to the Yumi Ba'aba Yehofi Kasha, the Rav of the Rav, that if so, Rav is contradicting himself. If it's dislocated and it's kosher, how could it be that it's treifa if the tzemes are given a cut? Ishtik, and Rav Yumi was quiet, either because he didn't know the answer, either because he didn't want to bother giving the answer, or because he had forgotten it momentarily. But actually, and I asked him, maybe Rav would hold the distinction between whether it's dislocated or cut. But Omali, and Rav Yumi says, you're coming up with this explanation of Rav's on your own. The Fader, Rav clearly said that if it's dislocated, it's kosher, and if it's cut, then it's kosher. So Rav Abba tells over this whole discussion to Rav Zeira. So now, in other words, so Rav Abba is saying, you used to live in Bavar, Rav Zeira, but after you left, I can tell you, we had this whole discussion between me and Rav Huna, and between me and Rav Yumi of Abba, and it became very clear from that Rav holds that, in fact, a dislocated thigh is kosher. So now he turns to Rav Zeira. So what do you have? Now you tell me, have you heard anything that's relevant to this after you came here to Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Zeira answers, I'll tell you that I heard over here that Rav Chiya Ba'ashi says in the name of Rav that a dislocated thigh would be treifer, I believe. And Rav Yaakov Ba'idi also says in the name of Rav Yechanan that a dislocated thigh is treifer by a bird. And the Omer of Yaakov Ba'idi, and in fact Rav Yaakov Ba'idi continues on that, and says not just that, it's treifa. Il mole haver abyechanan ba'astra the odu b'chaver v'rosa lahatera. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi says, you said no. If Rabbi Yechanan had been in a place where our colleagues, the other chachamim, declared that it's chaver, loy parshis, he wouldn't even move. He wouldn't even be able to argue against them la'isur, because the ones who are matter are very great some of the chachamim. Namely, because Rav Hanina was very, very great from previous generations, says in the name of Rebbe that if it's dislocated thigh by a bird would be kosher. And in fact, the town of Golas, Rav Hanina had a chicken whose thigh got dislocated, and he brought it to Rebbe, the Tiroloi, and he was matter to him. So now, instead of just eating it, now Rav Hanina actually took that dead chicken after he shechted it and salted it to preserve it by the motive of Allah. And he would use it to show the Talmidim, Zehitu li Rebbe. This is what Rebbe was matter to me. This is, so in other words, he would use it as an exhibit to show them, to demonstrate to them that it's kosher. So Rav Zeira is saying, on the one hand, yes, we have Rav Chiya Ba'ash saying in the name of Rav Yechanan, in the name of Rav, and Rav Yaakov Ba'idi saying in the name of Rav Yechanan, that it is treifa. On the other hand, Rav Yaakov Ba'idi is saying, the fact is, we have very, very great people, very great Talmud Chachamim, who say, in fact, going all the way back to Rebbe, who say that it is kosher. Well, the Gemara says, the halacha is not like all these statements, all of these reports, that it is kosher. In fact, it is treifa. namely Elokiha de Shal Rabbi Yosef ben Nehoroi as Rabbi Shimon Levi. We have what Rabbi Yosef ben Nehoroi asked Rabbi Shimon Levi. Diras Kona Bekama. If there's a hole cut in the windpipe, then how much of it has to be missing in order for the animal or the bird to be treifa? Otherwise, Rabbi Shimon Levi says Mishnah Shlema Shneinu. We learned a whole Mishnah about it. We learned an explicit statement in a Mishnah before that. Ad Keser Heitalki, where we learned previously that only if it's missing, that if up to the size of an Italian Iser, it's kosher. But beyond that, it would be kosher. Beyond that, it was but an Italian Iser or larger, it would be treifa. We had the whole discussion about Ad V'Abbechlal or Ad V'Loy Abbechlal, whether it's exactly the size of an Italian Iser would be treifa, and he said that in the end, yes, it would be. So Rabbi Yossi says, why wasn't there a case of a ewe, a female sheep, in our neighborhood, where its windpipe was cut and there was a piece missing from it, the size of an iser? But also a krumen shokana. So they made for it. They took a wide piece of a reed, like a piece of bamboo or something. And they closed it up, and with that, eventually it healed, and the bird was able to go on, the animal was able to live. So you see, therefore, says Rabbi Yossi ben Nehoroi, that even if you have a piece missing the size of an Easter, that still doesn't mean that the animal can't recover from it. Omalai, so Rabbi Shimon Levi says, Val da, at samich, what you want to be samich on that kind of thing to be matter? It's a well-known, a widespread halacha among the Jewish people. Shmutas yerach ba'oif treifa, that a dislocated thigh by a bird would be treifa. So this is what we're saying. In other words, that even though we have a report that Rebbe said that it's mutter, and Rav Chanina was showing that to people afterwards, and even though we said before that Rav Huna had said in the name of Rav that it's kosher, nevertheless we see Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying very clearly. It's a widespread halacha among the Jewish people. That in fact it is treifa, and yet to the time the girl is of the Reb Shimon Chalafka, Shanishmata Yerach Shalah, yet Reb Shimon Chalafka had a chicken whose leg was dislocated, and also was Shafeta Shokana. They made a tube out of reed to use as the equivalent of a cast or something, the choisa, and it recovered. So then what do you mean? How would the halacha be? That's treifa. If we see that it heals, elamayis v'chameima toich shneimasa chodesh haba. So what would you have to say? It was within 12 months. So in other words, yes, it was able to recover for a while, but nevertheless, as we're going to learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, of the definition of a treifa, and we're going to talk about the bottom of this amud, that a treifa won't live 12 months. So here what happened is, yes, the chicken recovered for a while and was able to walk, but eventually it died within 12 months from the original injury. Hachanami, the same thing over here. You're saying that they were able to cure this ewe with a large hole in its windpipe by using a krumis shokana, by using a piece of reed to close up the hole. Also, Hachanami, it must have been within 12 months, but eventually the animal did die. So in fact, it would be treifa. Since Rabbi Shimon Levi is saying halacha revachas, it's a widespread halacha among the Jewish people that a dislocated thigh by a bird is treifa, then that's how it is. So fine, Rabbi Shimon Levi is saying that, but still, Levi Aryeh points out, fine, the fact is, we have Rebbe and Rabbi Hanina actually paskin to be mutter, and in fact, and he said that even Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi says, even though Rabbi Yochanan holds its also, if he were to go to where Rabbi Hanina or Rebbe lived, he wouldn't even be able to move a muscle to argue against them, so why, in other words, why do we daft paskin like Rabbi Shimon Levi? And he explains because Rebbe, the further on we're going to discuss in the Gemara, is that Rebbe holds that a treifa can't even live 30 days. Well, here, with Rebbe Shimon Chalakta's chicken, it survived this whole thing for 30 days. Therefore, Rebbe would hold, based on that, it must be kosher. But since we passed in the halacha, a treifa can live 30 days, it just can't live 12 months. And then we would say that it died within the 12 months, and therefore it is in fact treifa. So the bottom line is we're saying that both by an animal and by a bird, if there's a dislocation of the thigh, then it's treifa, but again you have the details over there of exactly what has to be what has to be damaged. First of all, the Rambam, by the way, points out we don't always have the expertise to tell what it means yakul nive, how deteriorated do they have to be, these nive, these ligaments, in order for it to be trefa, and therefore we have to be concerned any time that a thigh is dislocated, then the Rambam says we have to be concerned that it might be yakul nive, that it might be that the ligaments are dislocated, are rotted or damaged, and therefore that it would in fact be trefa. He also mentions in that connection also again as far as the wings. As far as the wings or for that matter, he says not only if it was dislocated, but even if it was broken very close to the body, there's also the concern of yakul nive. So in practice, we're saying that a dislocation is trefa, and we're saying that also even sometimes a break in that area will also be will also make it trefa. Having mentioned of Shimon Chalakta, the Gemara is going to mention some interesting things about experiments that he did as far as these things. One was this experiment as far as healing the chicken, but we're going to mention others, so we'll continue with that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.